Please grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs, and we're going to pass a couple handouts. Ushers, you got some handouts back there, Brother Ray? You ready for those handouts? I do want to encourage all of us to be readers. Wow. Do I have them up here? Where's mine? Oh, here they are. Brother Ray, why don't you pass out... there's one that's called something about daughters. Something about daughters back there, Brother Ray. Is that what it is? Where's that? What's that called? Something daughters. Hannah, can you play while they're passing those out? If I can have one too, Brother Ray, that'd be great. What do you do with those? Thank you. Okay, this is called a surefire way to equip your daughter to be a future homewrecker. I'm going to just go through this real fast, okay? And then I got one more handout. I'm not going to go through I want to encourage you to read. Get material, read your Bible, read books, read recommended books. Don't read just anything. Okay, Hannah, that's good. Hang out right there for a minute. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh down with her hands. Surefire way to equip your daughter to be a future homewrecker. Okay, we're in this family emphasis month, and so here's one. Do everything for her so she can enjoy being a kid. Number two, don't require any real responsibility from her, even if she's capable. Number three, be sure she knows that academics are her highest priority, and that practical homemaking skills are menial and for the lower class folks. That one's been taught quite a bit. You can just meet new husbands when their wife doesn't know how to make boiled water. Okay. Number four, indulge her every whim without requiring any investment from her. Number five, shield her from disappointment and hardships. Okay, and then when problems come, she'll just melt. Number six, give her her own room, her own space, complete with ways to tune out the family, such as unlimited iPads, iPhone, texting, and computers. Okay, number seven, don't allow her to earn or manage any money. Just make sure she has plenty of it. Okay, most of you couldn't do that even if you wanted to, right? Never put her in situations where she has to get creative and resourceful. Just give her what she wants. Spoiler, so she can have a happy childhood. Number seven, do not correct her lack of character because you may hurt her feelings, and she may not like you. Just let her be free to be herself. Number 10, don't ever require her to do acts of service for other people unless she's getting extra credit for a school subject or club or course because she may need it for scholarship. Number 11, push her to establish a career because she would never want to depend on a man for anything. Number 12, be sure she chooses... Some of our people are going, really? You don't know if this is right or wrong, do you? That's okay. That's why we come to church to learn. Amen? Be sure she chooses friends that are shallow and enjoy wasting time like she does. 13, encourage her to focus on her outward beauty. Keep her nails done and keep her clothes in the latest fashions because that is very important to her self-esteem. Number 14, let her believe her beauty and charm will keep a husband happy once she has nagged him. I'm sorry, snagged him. The nagging part is a little lower there. That was snagged. 15, allow her to talk about her friends, gossip, Better, this is all fun stuff, isn't it? Better yet, you be sure to tear down your family and friends in front of her so she knows how to do it right. We shouldn't be laughing. We all be crying. Number 16, as a parent, you need to make sure your world revolves around her so that she will be sure to grow up and insist her husband's world will also revolve around her and cave to her every whim. Number 17, teach her to have a critical spirit of everything and everyone. Number 18, complain a lot, so she will be a pro by the time she has her own home. Number 19, nag your husband so she will never give her husband a moment of peace. 20, second guess and disrespect your husband, but be sure to justify it so it seems righteous. This is the key to being a homewrecker and sabotaging a marriage. Good choice of words. 21, allow your daughter to always have an opinion on everything and to always have the last word. Number 22, and this one is very important. Teach her not to be content at home. Make sure that you have somewhere to go every day. It may be lessons, clubs, teams, shopping, anything that will keep her away from her home. So you have learned how to teach your daughter to be a homewrecker, okay? One more. Let's, Hannah, pass those out. We've never passed this one out, but one more. If I can have one too, Brother Oscar, please. Thank you. You men like that one for the ladies, so we got one for you. Amen? Why do wives react? Man, my wife, she's always reacting. Good, you ask, we'll tell. Okay? Real fast, and we got to get to the lesson. We're supposed to try to get done a little early tonight. I don't think that's going to happen unless we fly through the lesson. Why do wives react? Now, I'm not going to ask how many men have had your wife react in the last 48 minutes. Chuck, I heard that. Okay? Here we go. Why do wives react? Number one, the cause. When a husband fails to be a spiritual leader, his wife feels insecure. Okay? Number two, when a husband allows problems to continue and even get worse, his wife feels helpless and finally takes matter in her own hands. Number three, when a husband does not support his wife in disciplining the children, his wife blames him for rebellious children. Number four, when a husband spends extra money on things which he enjoys, his wife resents the financial pressure under which they must live. Number five, when a husband does not accept himself, his wife feels the same rejection from him. Number six, when a husband praises or admires other women, that's like 11th command, thou shall not. Okay? His wife feels inferior and jealous. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. Take that home and you can finish it and turn to the book of Proverbs. By the way, I have some DVDs I want to encourage you to this summer. You might have a little extra time. You say, I don't ever have extra time. Well, let's just say you may not, especially those of you with children, there's not as many activities, school activities and so forth. But here's one DVD I would encourage you to watch this. It's called Changing the Heart of a Rebel. You say, well, my child's not a rebel. Well, you don't want to watch this after your child becomes a rebel. Okay, by the way, I would encourage it if your child's a rebel. But, and you say, well, my kid needs this. No, this is to the parents. This is to the parents. And so this is a good one. Call a church office. S.M. Davis has allowed us to copy these and loan them out. Not to give them out, to loan them out. So we got permission to do that. This is a real good one. Here's another one. What to expect from a 12-year-old. And it's not becoming an expert in video games. Has nothing about that, okay? What to expect from a 12-year-old. Monday Monday and Tuesday night, I will be talking a little bit about let's quit teaching our, let's quit treating our teenagers like they're children. That's why they're 25 years old or 20 or 30 years old. They don't know how to take care of a family. I'll give you a little heads up since this is a church family. I got Brother Joseph Ledwich. He's going to get me a little clip. You know, we are not advocating this by any means. You know Muslims are the fastest growing religion in the world. You know, there's many reasons why. You know one reason why? They train their children. They train their children to be jihad johns at a young age. I had my daughter do some research on the age of the disciples. There's a lot out there, but most historians believe the disciples, most of them, not all of them, but most of them were teenagers. You know, most of our teenagers are doing? Staying home watching television. Okay? Playing video games. Playing video games on phones they shouldn't have. Anyway, thanks. Here's one. What God expects from a 20-year-old. Okay? These are very scriptural. You know, the Bible talks about certain ages. And so what God expects, this is S.M. Davis also. And this is these are very good. We got a whole bunch of good family DVDs. I would encourage you to get those. And then this one here, it's called the Entrepreneur Boot Camp. This is basically a bunch of fathers. I think I want to say this is 20 messages. A bunch of fathers that are teaching about, basically much of it is their testimonies about how they failed as fathers because they were too busy in their work. And they were too busy in what they were doing. And most all these men quit their jobs. They didn't quit their jobs first. They start a business and so that they can have time. And I know some people, start a business. You don't have to be married to your business. Okay, now when you first start a business, it takes time. And I'm not saying everybody needs to be in business. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that. But the point is they restructured their whole life so their children, they can train and disciple their own children to be disciples for Christ. And so anyway, that's that. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 10, and we don't have much time at all. Proverbs and the family, the Bible in the book of Proverbs talks a lot about the family. And I'm going to fly through this, Proverbs chapter 10, and look at number 1, and it's real, real simple. Number 1 in your outline. Everybody have an outline? Do we pass out outlines? Number 1 is a wise child makes happy parents. Okay? And it's pretty simple. By the way, wisdom, what is a wise child? Wisdom is learned. There's all different definitions. The best definition I've ever heard. Wisdom is learning God's principles. If you have wisdom, you learn God's principles and you put them into practice. Okay? And so wisdom, you think of some people, wise, you're smart. No, it's different. Wisdom, if your child is wise, they are learning God's principles and they're putting them in practice. Proverbs 10:1. The Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father. Turn real quickly, for sake of time, Proverbs 15. We're going to stay in the book of Proverbs. We're going to look at a lot of verses here. Proverbs 15. Same verse, just a few chapters over. Verse 20, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Look at Proverbs chapter 23. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Look at Proverbs 29. Whoso loveth wisdom, verse 3, rejoiceth his father, but he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. If you are going to experience the gladness and the rejoicing and fulfillment of godly wise children, you must have a paradigm shift. When I say paradigm shift, you must think differently. Don't think like the world thinks. The world thinks American dream, get education, get a good job, take care of your family. God says, by the way, you're supposed to take care of your family because God says you're supposed to take care of your family. But God says, teach your children the Bible, Christ-like discipline, Christ-like character, teach them wisdom, and everything else will take care of itself. Look at number 2, real fast. Foolish children steal their parents' joy. Look here just a minute. We'll look at a couple of verses. Child rearing is much like health. This is my own personal evaluation. We really start spending time on it when it starts going south. And we spend very little time on it if we don't see major, I've had family members, we've had church members. I know people that they were smokers, Christians, smokers, smoking. People say, can you go to heaven and smoke? Yes, you'll probably get there a lot faster than the rest of us. And then you'll smell like the other place on the way there. You know what they do? They quit smoking once they're diagnosed with lung cancer. Now, will it help? It can help a little bit, but it's never too late with your children. It's never too late with your health. But we don't start changing our diet until the doctor says, you have 4 arteries clogged. We want to put balloons, stents, and firecrackers in your arteries. Okay? God is a preventive God. The truth of the matter is the best insurance for our children is for us as mom and dad is to walk close to God and to walk close in His Word. Okay? Let's look at a few verses here. Proverbs 17. Number 2, foolish children steal their parents' joy. Verse 21, he that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no what, class? No joy. You know, burdens are like cancer. You wake up with it, you think about it during the day, you go to bed with it. But a rebellious child is like a terminal stage 4 cancer. It's something you're like, I don't know what to do with this. And by the way, if your child is in the rebellion tonight, God's grace is sufficient. But if your child is not in rebellion tonight, let's do everything we can to walk close to God so that we don't have to experience the joy that's being robbed of us because of, look at verse 25 of Proverbs 17. A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bear him. God is just communicating to us the heartache that comes. Verse 13 of chapter 19. A foolish son is the calamity of his father, and the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. We just threw that one in there, amen? Proverbs 28. You got to read the whole Bible, whole counsel of God. Proverbs 28, verse number 7. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. By the way, who you young people hang out with causes people to disrespect. I'm not saying you should disrespect, because some of the best Christians I know have had children rebel, but it causes people to look differently on your parents. Okay, number three, real fast. Look at number three. Praise, and I've gone over this. Praise is a powerful child-rearing tool. Look at Proverbs 27, praise. Okay, you know, some have said seven praises to one rebuke. Now, most of us, we got that thing flipped over. Seven rebukes to one praise, right? Oh, you know, you don't deserve praise yet. You don't praise them for perfection. You praise them for just taking a step towards whatever that area of character that they need to work on. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 21. As the fining pot, okay, and I've explained the fining pot. It's a pot. You put silver in it. You put aluminum in it. You put it in the furnace. As the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, okay, that's to heat up the gold, so is a man to his praise. Look at letter A. Praise purifies. You say, man, my kids are filled with dirt. You know what you do? You praise them when they take steps towards holiness. You say, there's not very much. Well, if they take a little baby step, don't wait for them to arrive. Praise purifies. Letter B. Praise helps children and others to be more teachable. You say, man, my kid is just stubborn. My son is just rebellious. His face is like a totem pole when I talk to him. I can promise you God's word is true. You praise him, and he'll be more teachable. And pretty soon he'll start loosening up a little bit. And pretty soon his countenance will loosen up a little bit. You say, quit looking for things that they're doing wrong. Let's start looking for things they're doing right. Okay? And you can make a lot of progress. Praise purifies. Okay? That's what it does. You put that aluminum in that bowl, and then it heats up and all the impurities come to the top. You get that little spoon. Those of you who had a metal shop in high school or you worked in a foundry, you get all that junk out of there. Now you have a pure aluminum or you have a pure silver. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you praised your children? Praise they child. Praise them as a group. Praise the son. Praise the daughter. Praise purifies. Praise helps children and others to be more teachable. You say, what does it do? You heat up that gold, and they heat that gold up. Now it's moldable. Once you heat it up, you can make it into whatever you want it to be. And that's what, as a fining pot for silver, the furnace for gold, so is a man. Letter C, praise helps your children to feel more valuable. What does that furnace do? It takes all the junk out, and it makes that silver, aluminum, or whatever more valuable. Look, by the way, look around in the church. Look around in your class. Look around I was eating on the patio. Somebody brought me some food. I was meeting with somebody. Sometimes I'll eat out there. And Karen got her son some food. And she said, Mario, I got lunch for you. And he said, thank you. I said, hey, I caught you. He said, by the way, when you say you catch, I got you, you know, a lot of kids turn their heads. And I said, I caught you doing right. Okay, catch people doing right. Okay. Number four, parents must lead by example. And this is Proverbs 23:26. Real fast. My son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. See, I don't know why my children are always yelling at each other. Mom and Dad, are you always yelling at the kids? By the way, every once in a while, by the way, some of our homes, in not in a bad way, we're a little louder than others. We have not a yelling house, but we're a little louder. Our volume's a little louder. It's just, you know, just our volume's always up a little bit. don't know if it's because we're preachers or, Charlie, how about yours? It's like up. Some homes are high. Bunch of whispers. Okay? But you don't have to be yelling at it all the time. Okay? Proverb number four might be the most important. Be an example. I got to go quickly. Number five. Parents must win the hearts of their children. I went over this. And if you say, I lost my child's heart. By the way, if you lost your child's heart, someone has it. Whoever has your child's heart is who they're following. If you lost your child's heart, you need to watch this DVD. Number six, spanking is biblical. So it doesn't work on my children. Yeah, it works on everybody's children because it's biblical. Proverbs 13:24. None of this is new. We need to be reminded. By the way, if you have never spanked your children and, you know, your son's like 17, don't try it. Don't try it. I'm not saying don't spank a 17-year-old. I'm saying if you never spanked and all right, you know what happens? It's the funnel. We got it backwards. We're real lenient when they're smaller and they're younger. You know when you ought to be the strictest? When they're little ones. You don't let them run the show. Then as they get a little older, they have self-discipline. They've learned the respect, the fear of the Lord by respecting their parents. Okay? Probably by the time they're 9 or 10, they're not getting very many spankings. Now, what happens is we're very lenient when they're younger. We're letting them do whatever they want. We get them go in the supermarket and grab the Hostess cupcakes off there. Oh, okay, and they may have a big fit. And then by the time they're 11 or 12, they're little, you know, rebellious brats. And you're like, hey, I think I better spank them. And then, you know, you're like, wow, this didn't work. Then they're 16. You're like, man, I beat this kid. Okay? You know what the key is? When they're little ones. Okay, and we're not going over spanking tonight. We'll just look at Proverbs 13, verse 24. He that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him, by the way, don't be, close the windows when you spank your children. Close your windows. May I spank? Close them. Close the curtains. Okay, don't kill the kid. Spank him on the bottom. A lot of extra muscle, a little chubbiness back there. No, I've never heard of anybody getting a broken bottom. If you have, I haven't. Verse 24. He that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes at the right times. Look at verse 20, chapter 22. By the way, you spank your children for foolishness, not for childishness. So what's childishness? Spilling the Kool-Aid. By the way, you spill the Kool-Aid too. Have your wife spank you for that. You don't spank, you spank your children, okay? Oh, they got it on my new white shirt. They didn't mean that. No, you know, you can say, son, be careful. You can teach them how to not be so clumsy, to careless, but they're not doing that on purpose, okay? You don't spank them because, you know, they broke your something unless they were told you're not supposed to pick this up, okay? You don't spank children for accidents. You don't do that. That's how you provoke children to wrath. Foolishness is when they know what is wrong and they disobey it. That's what you spank them for. Nothing else. By the way, if they didn't know, you know, I can't remember, one of my children years ago, when we first started the church, maybe 5 or 6 years after we started the church, one of my children, we had a little boy that we had. We lived in an apartment. We managed apartments, and there was like a little patio, and then we had a patio, and it went right inside our house. There was a screen door, and our son went in the back patio, and then the neighbor's son went in the back patio, and somehow they started talking, and our son learned a dirty word. And he came in and shared it with the rest of us. He didn't even know what it was. And we're like, whoa, come here, pal. We don't say that. Okay? And now, we didn't. You said, did you spank him? No, I didn't spank him. As far as he knew, that was like a, you know, a Grecian cricket or something. He had no idea what the word was. He just, you know, was mimicking what the neighbor said. So, Joseph, don't do that when you're 20. Let's go on. Proverbs 20, did we give it 22:15? 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction will drive it out far from him. Look at Proverbs 23:13. Withhold not correction from the child. If thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. I mean, this is most little children's favorite verse. They like to memorize this one and quote it all the time. Thou shalt beat him. This sounds pretty rough. Thou shalt beat him with a rod, and he shall deliver and shall deliver his soul from hell. Okay? And whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. We don't chasten our children because we're mad. We don't chasten our children out of vengeance. We chasten them because we love them. Okay? And so little ones and parents, you need to communicate that to them. Let me share something. One reason you should spank your children is so that you don't mar your relationship with your children. Do you know when you give them the cold shoulder and the silent treatment in the house? By the way, when we come to God and we confess and forsake our sins, our relationship is restored. Spanking restores the relationship with the parents. But if you're on restriction for 3 weeks, and listen, you're locked in the back room and you can't do anything, that messes up the whole house. They're walking around and everybody's moping. Go in there, beat him with the rod, spank him. Spank him on the bottom, love him. Let's get back out here and play marbles. Don't ruin the culture and the environment of the home. It's like, and then he comes and he mopes until you restore that. Spank him, restore the relationship, and everything's okay. Okay? So don't sometimes, well, you know, I've got him on restriction for, you know, 2 weeks. How many remember when your dad did that to you? How many remember that? Come on, put it up. By the way, they never kept it. They always lightened up as they got less mad at us for what we did. Okay? That's not the way to do it. It's just, don't do it that way. Number 7. Families must associate with the right people. Okay? Associate with the right people. We know Proverbs 13:20. Proverbs 28:7. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. By the way, don't let your children be companion with people on the television. You say, who are the riotous? It's not righteous. Riotous, you know, riot type people. You know who they are? They're the cool guys. Okay, well, we have men in this church with tattoos all over the place. How's it going, Cody? Anyway, but if you're not careful in protecting your children and helping their hearts to be right, you know what they're going to be attracted to? Those cool, tattoo, cursing, filthy guys. By the way, now we've got these cool type guys behind the pulpit. Okay? The Bible says don't let your children be companions of these people. Okay? You say, well, you know, they're cool. You can sort of tell if they're hanging out with them, they're starting to talk like them, they're starting to act. Hey, we're Christians. We're not supposed to be righteous people. We're supposed to be righteous people. Let's be righteous in our minds, righteous in our hearts, righteous in our speech. By the way, be careful, mom and dad. All of a sudden you have some friends, and these friends, they're you know, maybe they're Christians, but they don't act like it, and they don't talk like it. Your children are going to pick up some of those habits. So let's have the right associations. Look at Proverbs 22 real fast. Proverbs 22, we're about done here. Verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man. Of course, it's the principle of association. And with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. And basically, association. Okay, number nine. Do all you can to avoid offending your child or your children. Proverbs 18, 19. Look over to Proverbs 18. Proverbs 18, 19. A brother, by the way, that can be a sister, that can be a mother, that can be a son. A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. A castle would have these bars to protect them, and it's to keep people from coming in. It's like a fence. When you offend somebody, and we're talking specifically about your child or your husband, your wife, they put the bars up. Do everything you can to, the Bible says, Ephesians 6, 4, ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Look at number 10. We're done. A wise man will build a strong, godly family. Look at Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24, verse 3. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. Okay, let's close our Bibles and look up here a moment. Let's, mom and dad, let's make a decision to have strong, look, I don't lift weights anymore. Chuck Castle, he told me him and John took the Rodriguez boys. Where'd you guys go? They went somewhere, somewhere up north, and they were doing push-ups. I'll just tell you this. Chuck Castle is 70 plus. He doesn't act like it. He definitely, his muscles aren't like it. I think there's only one guy in the whole church could out arm wrestle him. Serious. Okay. And John and Chuck, how many push-ups did you do, Chuck? He did 50-something. How many did you do, John? You could have done more, but how many did you do? 96. You know those teenager boys did? How many? 30. How many did you do, Daniel? You don't want to say. Don't even say it. Now look, it's okay to have a strong body. Okay? But you know more important than a strong body is a strong soul and a strong spirit and a strong family. Let's commit. Do we talk about spiritual things in our home? By the way, when I'm at my house, we're not all like sonist, Danielist. Hast thou committed any scripture to memory this hour? He'd probably shake his head. But it's natural for us to talk about spiritual things. I am not going to tell you what's going to be preached here on Wednesday night, but Bob Gray Jr. is going to preach a sermon. He'll be here. He's going to be here for, and by the way, thank him for staying here for Wednesday night. He's got his own home church. Do you know where I got this? You know what sermon he's going to preach? Come here Wednesday night. You'll find out. If you don't like it, blame my daughter, Susanna. Because she told our family, she said, I listened to this sermon. You guys need to listen to it. And then they told me to listen to it, and I listened to it. I called him. I said, I want you to preach that on Wednesday night. He said, no. I said, yes. He said, no. I said, yes. what are you talking about in your home? And I say, well, we don't talk about dirty things. Do we only just talk about current events or, hey, you know, hear about Asian Airlines and that pilot, you know, who knows? He only had 40, and someone told me today in my house, 42 hours of, you know, blah, blah, blah. There's nothing wrong with that, but can we talk about God? Can we talk about somebody that got saved? Can we talk about somebody that got a prayer answered? Can we have a spiritual home? Let's stand together.